Good morning out there on internet land, and we welcome you to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good and all the time. We also know that God has called the church through His Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, with three very simple but yet real commands: love God, love others, and go. That sums up the entirety of the Bible. And when we understand that and we come into that, we truly have a message to tell to the nations, amen? And a life that is worth living. Because when the focus of our lives is God, others, and going, we have a mission, and we are missionaries. For this is not our home, but it is where we are assigned to work unto the kingdom of Jesus the Christ. Well, today I'd just like to welcome everybody and let you all know I had a very wonderful vacation. I am so tired, I need to take a vacation. As many of you know, we planned to go away and truly have a vacation, but the way things worked out, I had to go down and help my son prepare to get his family moved into the trailer that they're moving into. And just to give you all a word of encouragement, when you give unto the Lord everything that you are, you'd be surprised what He's able to do through you and by you. And with all prayers that you have set up, Monday we will be moving Russell and Noel into their trailer. So I thank you for your prayers, and my body thanks you that it's over, at least for now, because then we have to build a whole house. But we will work on that as God gives us time. And we are all working on that, amen? We're building a house in glory. No, we're not. God's building it for us. We are simply at work here on this side, bringing the truth of Jesus Christ into the world. And today, I want to talk to you about that. This is truly a continuation, and I pray that Brother Mick was a blessing to your hearts. I listened to the sermon after the fact because we were working, but at lunchtime, I took a break and I listened to a sermon, and it's so tied in to where I've been walking, and I praise God for him, for Brother Mick and what he's doing in him. And today we're going to continue on in where I was speaking and what Brother Mick brought us through. I'm going to show you how this stuff all ties together, because today we're going to be talking about, and how many of you noticed this sermon is already a two-part sermon because it has an "and" in the middle of the title, okay? Conquering the heart and becoming as He is. And that's a pretty big title, okay? When you think about it, conquering the heart. How many of you are still at work at that? Yeah, do you think I'm going to get it done in one sermon? No, but we're going to lay some principles out. And next week when we get together, becoming as He is, I'm going to tell you right now, ain't none of us going to get there until we're over there. But it's a work in process, amen? No, it's a work in what? Progress. We are moving forward. Process can be static. We don't like static. Can I get an amen, church? We like progress because that means we're moving forward. And in that, we're going to today. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, where we left off the last time I preached. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5, and we are going to begin in the 6th verse. We are going to begin in the 6th verse. Now today, we're just going to read through 15, and then next week we'll pick up and read a little bit further on from there. Because at some point in time, I'm literally going to be taking you back and reminding you of what I read to you last week, because this is a treatise to each and every one of us for the very things that I'm speaking on. And God's Word is complete and whole and ready for us, but we need to break it down and say, how do I plug this into my life? How does this apply to me? And what is God speaking to me? So today, from the 6th verse, we read our first therefore. And what's a therefore there for? To tell us, pay attention. All this stuff I've said, therefore, this, okay? We need to begin to do this. And this is what God wants us to do. He says in His holy word from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in the 6th verse, thus saith the word of the Lord, therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest to God. And I hope that we are made manifest also in your consciences. We are not again commending ourselves to you, but are giving you an occasion to be proud of us, so that you will have an answer for those who take pride in appearance and not in heart. For we are beside ourselves, for if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, so that they who might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Blessed be the word of our Lord. Amen. How does this have anything to do with conquering the heart? Well, it has a lot to do with conquering the heart. The scripture tells us the heart of man is evil above all things. From birth, actually, it says. From birth, the heart of man is evil. But God did not create us that way. When God created us, the heart of man was good because it was aligned with God. But when sin entered in, all of a sudden we became a trinity within ourselves, me, myself, and I. And that is the God that we have been fighting ever since. And we continue to fight. And it's one that we will fight unto the very end. Because the greatest battle that will ever take place does not take place out there in the world. Though it's worked out there, the greatest battle of all takes place right here. Right here. Because it's the battle between ourselves and God. And that battle, my dear friends, means we need to conquer the heart. How many of us think we have a good heart? I want you to understand, not one hand went up in this audience, okay? My congregation didn't raise a hand. Praise Jesus. Can we get an amen? Because the reality is, we are again a work in progress, okay? We're getting there. How many of you are finding it difficult to defeat this thing that wants to put you first? Yeah, now I got hands going up. And that's a good thing because we need to understand that that is exactly what is being spoken about here. One of the things I want you to understand is we began this by talking about the fact that we walk by faith, not by sight. Is that not what we read? We walk by faith, not by sight. And we need to understand that we see in this world this I, me mentality. And we've got to unplug from it. And we have to walk by faith that God says He is first. God says that we need to come to Him. He alone holds salvation. There is no other. He knows our purpose. How many of you know your purpose? You know, I thank God that Liz is here today because her life is an example to us today. Liz is a missionary that we have supported since the beginning of this church, and she's been in France. And what a wonderful thing it is to have our sister home. But she is in the midst of what I'm talking about right now because she can choose to do what she wants to do, or she can seek God and take time to find out where He wants her next. And we spoke in the back, and I said, that's a hard place to be because it takes time. You can't just jump into it. And I want her to. And I want us all to be praying for her along that lines. When she had work to do over in France, she knew what she was doing, you know, and she, every day, I'm getting up, this is my schedule, this is what I'm doing, and it was now not so much so. She's got to figure it out. Most of us, we're in our lives and we think we have it figured out. How many of you have it figured out? Yeah, you won't raise your hand now, but after you leave, you'll say, yeah, I know what I'm doing. I know where I'm going. I know what tomorrow holds. No, you don't. No, you don't. None of us know what tomorrow holds. We all know who holds tomorrow. Can I get an amen? And we trust ourselves to Him. And in that, that's walking by faith, not by sight, because we don't know where God's going to lead us. I have no idea what He's going to bring into your life. But I know we need to be ready for change. I was going to bring my calendar up here and have that as an illustration, but you can't see my calendar, so it didn't make sense. My calendar is marked up all the way through November, actually into December, completely marked up. Ask me how much of that is written in ink. None of it. Every time I write in my calendar, it's written in pencil. Because I have no idea what God's going to do with my life. That's why when my wife says, can I add this to your calendar? I will tell her what? Don't use pen. Always. Because invariably, something's going to change. And that's what we need to understand. That is walking by faith and not by sight. Because God is going to change who we are. And He's going to make us people of good courage. Okay, that was the very next verse. It says that we are to be of good courage. I need to ask you this question. How many of us are optimists? Nobody's an optimist in my church. That's not good. How many of us are pessimists? Yeah, I got one being honest. Because that's what we're asking. Are you an optimist or are you a pessimist? Well, there's a third place to be also. What's that? A realist. A realist says, I can't predict what's going to happen. I simply need to deal with where I am. And God will lead me to where He wants me to be. Do I believe in God? Yes. Do I believe He has a plan and a purpose for me? Yes. So in that, I'm going to be very optimistic. But I'm not going to be a pessimist and say, woe is me. Remember what this started out as? Can a Christian have a bad day? The answer to that question is no. We cannot have a bad day unless you choose to. We need to remember, what did Pastor Mick preach about just last week? He told us that before the foundations of the earth, Jesus Christ crucified, didn't He? And why? Because He loved us. He saw what was coming. Did He fear it? No. In fact, according to the book of Hebrews, it says, for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame. So we can understand that the mindset, the heart set of Christ was to do and be everything that the Father wanted Him to do and be. He was of good courage. Now, when He got to the Garden of Gethsemane, was He of good courage? I got a couple of people looking at me like, I don't know how to answer that. The reality is we understand Jesus prayed three times for that cup to be taken away from Him, didn't He? And He sweat as drops of blood. He is showing us where you and I must walk with Him, just as He struggled in that garden. But He did not abandon the will of God. Amen? He walked in the will of God. He gave of Himself to become. That's conquering the heart. Jesus conquered the heart. How? By literally bleeding at that spot, hemorrhaging on our behalf. How many of us are hemorrhaging on behalf of the world? That's what we need to be doing. And I'm talking spiritually there, not physically. We need to be pouring out to God that we are literally hemorrhaging before the Father, that He sees what is going on, that He knows what is going on. And that's part of, in verse 11, it says that what we are is made manifest to God. He sees where we are. He knows where we are. He understands, and He says, that's where I want you to be. This is how I want you to be. To be manifest unto God is to be known by God. to be known of God, that He sees the heart of our being. Are we belaboring the work of the gospel, or are we just simply using it as a stepping stool or something to have to bypass in life? As Christians, we are called to higher ground. That's why I started with that song today, because it is not our way, it's His way. And His way is a highway, and that highway is where we need to be found. Can I get an amen, church? Man, I'm telling you right now, I think about this past week, getting up, starting work at 6:30 in the morning and working until 9 o'clock at night. And if y'all think that's a joke, I am not. That is exactly what happened. I haven't worked that hard ever. And during that time, the Lord literally was talking to me. He said, you know, you're doing this for your son. That's good. Will you do this for me? That hurt. That hurt because I thought I was. And He says, no, you give to me. You give a lot, but not like this. He said, at the end of the day, you hurt, don't you? I said, yeah, I can barely get in the shower and get to bed. He said, what would life be for you if you gave me like that? And then you rested in me to be renewed every day to start again. And I thought, wow, I have no idea. He said, why don't you try it? How do you say no to God? I can't. So I'm going to tell my church today. Your pastor is redoubling his efforts. My prayer, sitting back here with Ryan, we were talking, doing some stuff, getting things ready for next week, I pray. And I said, Lord, I prayed over the sanctuary. I prayed over all of you that are sitting in these pews right now. Prayed over myself. And I said, Lord, may we redouble ourselves. May we recommit ourselves. May we give ourselves to you as we've never given to you before. Not just in word, but in deed. That our life is truly a pouring out, a speaking of Jesus. I speak Jesus. That it is a speaking of Jesus. Remember, that's what we read last week. That we believe, therefore we speak. Does your life speak? My life needs to speak 24/7, 365. Can I get an amen? That folks understand this man is in Christ so much that you can't but see Christ when you look at him. Does that mean I am Christ? No, I'm a broken vessel. I am a broken pot. But you all need to understand, I need to understand, God uses broken vessels. Because in that He shows His perfection. He shows His ability to change us, to heal us, to bring us to a place where that broken vessel can bring forth life into a world. Jesus was broken on our behalf. Can I get an amen? And that's where our lives need to be. When I think about conquering the heart, oh my goodness, it's going to be an all-day job, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. How many of you are ready to get into that? That's where we're supposed to be. He says, we got to conquer the heart. Why? Because the heart is evil from birth. That's not the way it was created. And for us to call that back, that means we have to get real with ourselves and plugged in such a way as to know that God sees us and He'll meet us where we are. So when you're struggling, put it up to Him. Throw it up to Him and tell Him, Lord, this is where I am. You need to get me through this. And do you think He's going to abandon you? Absolutely not. But He may not give you what you want. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Do you see how this all plays back? Jesus knew what was coming before the foundations of the earth. While Jesus was here, did He know what was coming? Yes, He knew the cross was on its way. But did He know what He was going to experience emotionally every day? No, He didn't. Because he had left his divinity in heaven. He left his glory, not his divinity. I want to rephrase that. He left his glory in heaven. Jesus was always divine. We all need to understand that. The hypostatic union tells us he is fully human, he is fully God. He was always divine, but he left his glory. He did not bring all his omnis with him, because he would have been far too powerful. And he needed to be as we are. So he had a semblance of knowledge. He knew he was the Son of God. Did he not say that when he was 12 years old and he was talking to his mother? Did you not know that I would be about my Father's business? Jesus knew who he was. Do you know who you are? You know, that's part of conquering the heart. It's understanding that this world, Satan, and everything in it is going to try and pull you down and tell you you can't. You're a mess. Your life's... Look at the things that you chose in the past. Would you get over the past? The past does not exist in Jesus Christ. It's been covered. It is actually gone. Not that it's erased, but it is that it will be remembered no more. However, do we remember it? Yes, we do. But you and I need to get over it. We need to let it in the past, bury it, and let it under that tree. Don't keep going back and digging it up. Because as we let it there, it will drop off from us, and it will mean nothing anymore. Yeah, but if I don't fuss over this, then it's not important to me. No. No. As we see God walking in our lives and being with us, the things of our past are meant to help us understand the future. Not just for ourselves, but for others who are going through the very things that we went through. God doesn't want us to forget the past. God wants us to utilize the past as a way of guiding us into the future and helping guide those who are out there. How many of you have been through the things that this whole world's been through? Yeah, every hand can go up in the air, right? There is nothing new under the sun. But if you've been through it, do you think God wants to use you to help get somebody else through it? Again, that's conquering the heart. It's realizing God sees you as that important. Oh, but I'm nothing. I'm no one. No, you're not. You're a child of God. What did God do with his first child? He saved us all. What do you think he can do with you? He may not save the world, but he will use you to lead others to his son. Can I get an amen? And that's what we're to be about. That's conquering the heart. It's understanding that as we are manifest to God, that he sees where we are and he is opening up the doors for us to see that very reality. In verse 12, in 2 Corinthians here, it says to us, got to go back to my, oh, there it is. Verse 12, chapter 5. It says, we are not commending ourselves to you, but are giving you an occasion to be proud of us so that you will have an answer for those who take pride in appearance and not in heart. I want us to understand that this world looks at everything on the outside. How many of you know that people in this world will come up to you, smile at you, laugh with you, and the whole time inside in their heart, they are hating your guts? I hate to say this, but that happens in the church. And it needs to change. We need to change. Conquering the heart means that we need to be transformed. And Jesus Christ is the only one who can transform us. Because it is only through the power of God that we will be transformed. Look in your Bibles. So this is where we were last week. This is in chapter 4. Chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. We're going to begin in the 10th verse because I want to remind us of what we said, and I'm going to preach through it again. Again, like I said, this whole treatise that I'm using here out of 2 Corinthians is an entire dialogue for us to understand what it means to be changed, to be truly in Christ, that none of us will have a bad day because we realize where we are and whose we are. So it doesn't matter what comes at us. Every day is a good day because God's in charge of it. Can I get an amen, church? From chapter 4, beginning in the 10th verse, I'm going to read through 16. For we are always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our inner man, our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. As we change our heart from the things of this world, something amazing begins to happen. We are no longer dying unto eternity, but we are changed to a living unto eternity. And our heart, and I'm not talking about this thing that beats inside my chest and pumps red blood. What am I talking about when I say our heart? I'm talking about that inner being of you, that part of you that is eternal, that is the spark of life from God. As he breathed into the nostrils of Adam, he gave him the nephesh, and the heart is the nephesh. It is the Spirit of God that dwells in us. It is the life-giving force that each and every one of us has, and we are either coming unto death, which is absence from God, or we are coming unto life, which is in Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen? When we see where we are and know that this nephesh that is in us, this heart that is in us, needs to be transformed because of our sin, because of the sin of our world, because of what we have become. But now in Christ Jesus, we are becoming something else. Amen. And I'm going to tell you right now, that's going to be one of the greatest works you will ever do. And I'm going to tell you folks out there right now, many people are looking for purpose in life. They're looking for fulfillment in life. You're not going to find it in this world. This world will disappoint you. This world's going to destroy you. You all know that already. You've been there. How many of you put your hope in your job? No. Because there's going to get a point in time where you're too old to do your job. That's not going to happen. Oh, yes, it will. Yes, it will. Because I'm going to tell you right now, how many people go out the way they came in? You all know what I mean by that. We start out as infants, and people are taking care of us. And when we get to that age, what's happening? People are taking care of us, aren't they? Isn't that what Peter was told? Isn't that what Peter was told? He said, hey, don't you worry about these things. There's going to come a time when people are going to lead you around by the hand, and they're going to dress you, and they're going to feed you, and they're going to seat you in places. You know, you're not in control. Do you trust me? Because the only way we're going to get there is to be on the road that God places in front of us that gets us to the destination. Y'all remember what I said 2 weeks ago? I saw that sign. Every time I go to Russell's, I pass that sign out there. It's a little Brethren church out there right up from LCBC. And it says on the church sign, is the road you're on going to get you to my place, God? And the reality is, that's the road we need to be on every day of our lives. Can I get an amen? That means we need to change who we are by allowing God to work in and through us. Because when we understand that as we speak, as we live, I'm not talking about words. If you need to use words, use words. You know, I'm a pastor, right? How many words do I speak on a Sunday morning? More than you all care. Ruth Ann's laughing, okay? Thank you, sis. Because I do. I use words. Because that's what God's done to me. I always wondered why when I was little I couldn't shut up. Then I had a child, and he's the same way. Now I have a granddaughter. I swear there's more preachers coming up in my family. But the reality is, that's how He's crafted me. How has He crafted you? Live your life. Be the man, be the woman that God wants you to be. Speak with your being. Is that not how Jesus spoke? Not just with words, but with action. And that's where we need to be. You know, I have a young man here, and I'm going to tell on him, and I hope he doesn't care. I'm not going to give his name. But he wants to walk into the waters of baptism. How many of you think that's a great thing? Amen. He said, but Pastor, you need to explain to me some of these things. I'm not quite sure on them. Oh, buddy, I got some words to share with him, don't you think? Yeah, because this is a good thing. This is a glorious thing because he's allowing the Lord to transform his life just as he transformed our lives. And we're going to move forward. And I can't wait to see what God has in store for he and his family. Because as he, being the head of the household, gets things right, how much better do you think things are going to be? Now, also on the same token, how much more is the evil one going to come after them? And we all need to know that and pray for them. Amen? Because Satan hates when we walk with Jesus. And we understand. If you want to know you're doing a good job, look at the attacks coming your way. Because if you got attacks coming your way, you can stomp your feet and point your finger at heaven and say, yes, sir! I'm on the right road. When ain't nothing happening, you better be looking to see who's behind you. Because I'll guarantee you it ain't the Lord. We all need to understand. God wants us to conquer the heart. You know, I think this is funny. In verse 13, turn back here to chapter 5, verse 13. Because you know, I'm Pennsylvania Dutch, and I had no idea that the apostles were Pennsylvania Dutch. Okay, it says in chapter 13, for if we are beside ourselves, if that is not a Pennsylvania Dutch terminology, I don't know what is. How many of us are beside ourselves? How can you be beside yourself? That means there's two of you, right? But we all know what that means. So as soon as we read this, being Pennsylvania Dutch, we realize, man, he's from PA. And he is in PA, because I'm going to tell you right now, one of the best ways to know that God is working on you, that God's working with you, that God's got something important for you is because you're going to find yourself beside yourself. And you're going to be like, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. Because God wants you to choose. That's the God I love. That's the God I serve. He wants you to choose. He does not dictate to you. He says, choose you therefore this day whom you will serve. And Joshua says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Can I get an amen? And amen. Oh, brothers and sisters, God knows right where we are. He knows we're going to be beside ourselves on some of this stuff. But we need to choose God at every intersection. Can I get an amen? Because it's not going to be the easy road. It's going to be a narrow road. And it's going to go up the path because it's leading to heaven. Wide is the road that leads to destruction because it's downhill and there's too many people on it. But the road that leads to heaven is a narrow way. And Jesus says, if you trust me, I will level that path. It's still going to be a climb. But he will level that path. Because he'll walk it with us. He'll walk it in front of us. He'll walk it for us. But we got to trust him and walk in him. So when you feel like you're beside yourself, please remember from verse 14 of where we just read. Verse 14, what does it say? It says, for the love of Christ controls us. How many of you have given the control over to God? You know, there's a song out there, and it talks about God being your co-pilot. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, if he ain't driving your life, you're in the wrong seat. You and I need to be the co-pilot. Only taking the controls when he says, okay, here you go. This is an easy patch. You take it from here. And you know, when it starts to get rough, when the turbulence start coming, all right? You know, I used to laugh. I mean, this is going to sound stupid, but this is the mentality of Rich Dubs. I had no idea what turbulence were, right? So I'm flying. I think it's like the second or third time I was flying. I was going down to Texas. And the plane's bumping. And I'm like, wow, this is weird. I didn't know there were potholes in the sky. Because that's what it feels like, doesn't it? Feels like potholes. I thought I was in Pennsylvania driving on the turnpike. Little did I know what that meant was the plane was being jostled by the fact that there's gusts of winds coming at you or pockets, and this just blew my mind, pockets where there's no air, at least not enough to support the plane, and it drops. Did y'all know that? I didn't until I read it, and it said that this plane dropped 300 feet when it hit turbulence. It hit a vacuum pocket, what they call a vacuum, and it dropped 300 feet, and people were hurt because they were serving drinks and what have you, and the caddies went up in the air and landed on people. And I'm like, I ain't flying again. But the truth of that matter is I am going to fly one day. I'm going to fly away, and I don't have to worry about turbulence because I'm going to be on the everlasting wings of Jesus Christ, and there is nothing going to drop me. When we think about where we are, who we are, and what God is doing with us, God controls us through Christ Jesus our Lord, the second person of the Trinity. If He says yes, I say what? Yes. If He says no, I say no. If He says maybe, I say, wait. Boy, we love that word, don't we? We want it and we want it now. God says, control your heart. You got to conquer that heart. You ain't getting it now. You might get it in eternity, but you ain't getting it now. How many of you are willing to wait till eternity? Oh man, I'll guarantee you I am. I'll guarantee you I am. Because when I get to eternity and I get the goodness of God, the glory of God, I'll never want to come out of it. And that's where He wants us to be, on the way. We are being delivered unto Him. But we've got to conquer the heart. And finally, from verse 15, it says, and He died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died and rose again on their behalf. We are told that we are to live for Christ. That is to conquer the heart. And the heart's desires are for the things of this world. How many of us understand that the heart's desires is for ease, is for accomplishment, for self-esteem? That's the wrong trinity. That's the me, myself, and I that we started a long time ago. We need to get back to God the Father, Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And when we begin to see that our life is to be lived for God, that's why we were created, to be one with Him, in Him, for Him, by Him, of Him, from Him, and back unto Him. When we start living for ourselves, all we get is this little bit of time here, and then complete and total death for all eternity, where you will be your only God. Because it will be only you, even though you're surrounded by millions and millions and millions, you will be completely and totally alone. But when we find ourselves in the glory of heaven, what do you think it's going to be like to sing the hallelujah chorus with all the angels, with all the saints? What do you think? You know what? I cannot wait to see it, because you know who the loudest voice is going to be, right? Y'all know who the loudest voice is going to be. Come on. Who's the loudest voice going to be? No, it ain't going to be Pastor Rich. I'm not that naive, all right? Nor am I that conceited. The greatest voice that we're going to hear is the voice of God. Do you think God's not going to rejoice with us? He's going to rejoice so much so that glory will flood our... We won't be able to do anything but sit there and tremble. And just know... He's singing the hallelujah chorus. We're supposed to be singing it to Him. And who's He singing it to? Us. For we are His love. Everything He's done is for us. Everything He's yet to do is for us. And are we going to allow our us to be for Him? That's conquering the heart. It's the hardest thing you're going to have to do, but it's the most worthwhile work you will ever find, because in it, you cannot have a bad day. Because in it, God walks right beside you. And when you're really struggling, He carries you every step of the way. Amen? Let us pray. Father God, we thank You that we have such a great work ahead of us. Because, Lord, it's really personal, and it's where You want us, because it means we have to search You out every day, all the time, and then allow our lives to speak Jesus into the world, to be transformed, to be whole, and to be wholly Thine. Father, it's not where I am, but it's truly where I want to be. And I pray that's every prayer here today. Because, Lord, as we give ourselves to You, so too do You give Yourself to us to make possible that transition, that as we conquer the heart, we receive Your heart, the heart of humility, the heart of grace, the heart of compassion, the heart of kindness, the heart of eternity in Your Son and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. God is good and all the time. Today, as we come to our invitation of prayer, let us come to Him with the words that we all know so wonderfully well, and that we all carry our burdens to Him with our cares chorus. Father God, we do cast our cares upon You this day. Lord, we ask that You would dearly and wholly bless our first responders and our military men and women. Lord, we just ask that You would move over them and their lives, keeping them from harm. And Lord, if harm is on the way for them, then we pray that You would be there with them to walk through that time. And for their loved ones who are concerned, and for those who have literally paid that ultimate price, Lord, we give You thanks, but we also pray that You would bless the families, that they would understand that there are those out there who know that what they have given is truly a symbol, a sign of your love for each and every one of us. Father, we pray for our nation's leaders, and we ask that you would bless them, that you would guide them, that you would turn their hearts towards you. And Lord, if it is not your purpose to do those things, as we see the day and the time coming when the Christ shall return, then we pray, Father, hasten the day, for in that we have the greatest glory of all, and that is the calling of the church. Father, we pray too for our church. We ask that you would bless our pastors, Pastor David, Pastor Vergott, Pastor Brito, myself, that Lord, each of us would truly speak nothing other than your word, the truth thereof, and the wholeness therein, that your glory would always be seen and known, and that your truth would be revealed unto the kindness of your love towards all mankind, unto salvation from the cross of Christ. We pray, Father, for this school, and we pray for all of our local schools. As school is now open, I pray, Father, that you would bless all the students unto safety. We ask, Lord, that you would utilize this time of learning for them, that they would grow in the admonition of the Lord. And we ask, Father, that you would protect our children that are out there in the secular world, that each of them would hold fast to your truth if they are in church. And if they're not, Father, draw their lives to you in such a way that they too would walk therein. Father, we pray for Jason Genetto and Brian Potts and Brian Gingrich and for Jason Smith and his family. We ask that you would bless these men, that they would continue to walk in you, to be grown by you, and to see you as you are and become as you are. Transform their lives, Father, that they may be men of faith. We pray for Joey and Chantel and for Scott and Tanita. And with that, Lord, I pray for every marriage within our congregation and throughout our world. And I just ask, Lord, that you would bless them unto the fullness, that each marriage would truly show the union, not of just a husband and a wife, but a husband and a wife united by your covenant, that you are the head thereof, and that we may be found therein. Father, we pray too for Mick Tome and for Ruth Ann. We pray for Gloria Dower and for Aaron, for Lillian Smith and for Hilda Baker. We lift each of these and the so many others who are in need of physical health, physical healing, whatever it may be, Father, we lay it at your feet. And we know that you will take care of it according to thy measure. And in that we trust. We pray for healing, Lord, and oftentimes that healing is not what we think, but it is what you know, and that we ask. Father, we pray too for all the folks who are traveling, who are on vacation here this weekend, and we ask, Lord, that you would bless them. We pray for the upcoming EA convocation and for all the folks who are going to be traveling. We ask, Lord, that you would give unto the mouths of the speakers the praises and glories of your name, because, Lord God, you know we do not come together as the EA to make political statements. We come together to worship you, to love you, to learn from your word, and to come back refreshed and ready to go, to serve the church once again, not to be a political entity, because, Lord God, the church is to worship you and to serve you, and may that be who we are. We pray, Father, for guidance for Brother Bob as new opportunities are coming up for him. We pray for Daryl and Steve and Charles for guidance, and I pray that for each and every person, and we pray that especially for Danica and Billy, that they would know your plans for their future and that you would truly solidify all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, it says here that we praise you for the blessing of labor in Christ, and that we do on this Labor Day, because Lord God, it is the greatest labor that any of us could have, is to work with you unto the salvation of ourselves and to those around us. Father, we come before you with the groanings of our hearts through the words that you taught us all. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.